Indulge in all your holiday faves this season, knowing you're getting the good stuff your body craves with Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake. It's your post-holiday recovery kit with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. And it actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you can even savor the season with their limited edition chocolate mint. There are endless ways to personalize your Ka'Chava, whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee. With every 2 scoops of Ka'Chava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Ka'Chava.com and use code FITNESS for 15% off. That's Ka'Chava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code FITNESS.
Huge news, Wayfair shoppers! There's still time to shop Wayfair's Cyber Week sale. Thought the savings were over? Think again! Cyber Week, aka the holiday home stretch, is on now! Right now, get up to 70% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. Plus, you can sit back and relax. With Wayfair's fast and easy shipping, everything home comes straight to your home. Just in time for the holidays. Yep, even the big stuff. Didn't get everything on your Black Friday list? We got you. There's no place like home for the holidays and no place like Wayfair for Cyber Week savings. Shop Wayfair's Cyber Week right now through December 7th and save up to 70% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
All right, good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming. Okay, where are we?
The end of the first one, I think.
Close. We're very close. Okay. So let me just read these psukim a little bit.
The first one?
Yeah, I really think over this session and the next session, your view on these words are going to explode. Okay. All right? 92. Okay. The psukim go, right? We just said, Oysa Shemayim Ba'art, Asayam Mesh Asher Bam, right? Always talking about the trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he's the creator. We don't trust the creations, rather the creator. We talk about Yaakov Avinu. Oysa Mishpat La'ashukim, right? Then the next it goes, he does justice for those exploited. Noisen Lechem Re'evim, he gives bread to the hungry. Adonai Matir Asurim, Adonai Pekeach Ivrim, Hashem releases the bound, right? And gives sight to the blind. Zoytev Kefufim, straightens the bent. Hashem Oyev Sadiqim, and then Hashem loves the righteous. So what is going on over here? Seems like a bunch of random things that David put together. So I want to start off with a Gemara and Yuma. It's a very interesting Gemara, okay? There are 3 people, Mo, Larry, and Curly. You know who they are? No Mo, Larry, and Curly?
Excuse me?
Yeah, okay, so Mo, Larry, and Curly go up to Shemayim. A rich man, a poor man, and a Rasha. And each one goes in front of Hashem, and they ask him the same question. And they ask him, "Midnei Maloi Askas Patera, how come you didn't learn Torah?" They ask the Ani, "Why didn't you do that?" And he said, "Oh, I was too busy trying to make a parnasa. Right? I had no money. I was busy running around and trying to put bread on the table." So they say, "Were you a bigger Ani than Hillel? Because what about Hillel? You know the story, this is a story from like the Jewish bedtime stories, if you had that book. Hillel Zaken, he used to work every day to earn 1 tarpit, 1, let's say, 10 bucks, okay? He used to work every day to earn 10 bucks, and 5 of it he would use to put bread on his table, and 5 of it he used to do to pay the entrance fee to the base medrash. So he used to pay to enter the base medrash. Nuts. Imagine how packed it would be these days if you had to pay to go in. And half of it for his parnasa, half of it for the shul. One time, he couldn't find any work, Hillel HaZaken, and he couldn't go into the shul, so into the base manager. So what did he do? As the story goes, anyone know? He climbs up to the roof and to the skylight, and he puts his ear down and tries to listen to the Torah of Shmaya and of Kalia, the 2 rabbis at the time. This was happening Erev Shabbos, and it started to snow. The next morning, when Shabbos morning, Shmaya and Avtalin, the two rabbis, walked into the shul. One of them tells the other, it's pretty dark up here. You know, it's usually pretty light. So they look up to the skylight and they see, you know, the snow, but they also see the shape of a person up on top of the roof. So they run up, and what do they find? They found 3 amos of snow, so like 8 to 9 feet of snow on top of Hillel and Zaken. They brought them out and they washed them up. They, you know, oiled them up. They put him in front of the fireplace, save his life. So rich, poor man, you don't learn any Torah because you're too busy to work. Were you as poor as Hillel Zaken that couldn't afford the few pennies to go into the Beis Medrash? Yet he went up into the skylight. Then they asked the rich guy, okay, rich guy, how come you didn't learn? I was too busy with my businesses. You know, I've got a lot of people that rely on me to give them a paycheck, and I have to grow my business. You know, so he goes, oh, really? Were you more rich than Rabbi Elazar ben Chorsum, who was the Kohen Gadol during the second Beis Hamikdash, which was, he was so rich, his father left him 1,000 cities, and for each city corresponding, he left him a ship in the sea. So he had 1,000, like, say, towns, and 1,000 ships. And each day he would take a kemach on his shoulder, the Gemara says, kemach al katifo, mahalach mi'ir le'ir, medina medina lumay Torah. And he would just go from one city to the next city to learn Torah. One time, he was in one of his cities, and one of the workers recognized him just, you know, walking around, not doing, you know, work or anything. He says, come, I'm hiring you right now, you've got to work for my boss, Rabbi Elazar ben Chorsum. Didn't recognize who he was talking to. You know, it's kind of like undercover boss, you know? Like, you know, everyone's these, like, Gordon Ramsay things. He shows up to the restaurant, puts on a mask, and, like, you know, boom, it's your boss. All right? And the story goes, basically, you know, Rabbi Elazar eventually, like, broke the news to him, but the concept is that Rabbi Elazar ben Chorsum was this big CEO of all these, you know, towns, yet no one knew what he looked like because he was always in the basement. Then they go, okay, Russia, what are you, did you learn? How come you didn't learn? So they said, he says in front of him, Im Amar Na Haisi Vitar Biyitzri. I was too busy with my Yitzhara, you know, like, come on. I was, you know, running around town, enjoying all the pleasures of life. Amu Loikhu, they tell him, that's nothing. Did you have a bigger, you know, Nisayon, a bigger, you know, test? Then Etanel Tatalov. What? No, I mean a bigger test than Yosef Atzadik, right? What do they say about Yosef Atzadik? Bichol Yom V'Yom, right? We know that he was in front of Ishes Potiphar, right? The Pharaoh's wife. And the Gemara explains what she would do to try to convince him to sleep with him. He would go, Bichol Yom V'Yom, Hayisat Ishes Potiphar, Mishtadlai B'Dvarim. First, of course, she would try to, you know, appease him with words. Right? The clothing that she wore in the morning, she didn't wear in the afternoon. And the clothing that she wore in the afternoon, she didn't wear at night. It's kind of like these Pesach programs, you know? You go away for, well, the woman, they have to, for the 8 days, they have to bring 27 different dresses because they can't be seen in the same dress more than once. So that was Ishes Potiphar. That's where they get the, you know, the idea from. Amrulai Hashmali, she would tell him, surrender to me. Amrulai Lath. She would go, really, you're not gonna sleep with me. I'm going to put you in the dungeon. Yeah? Mako Repo. What's so interesting? I'm telling you a story, okay? She says, I'm gonna put you in prison. If you don't come lie with me, I'm going to put you in prison. So what does Yosef say? Hashem matir asurim. I don't care. And then I'm going to show you a marsha that explains each one. Hashem matir asurim, right? Harenu kefefes kamascha. I'm going to break your bones, put them back together, and break them again. You know? So he goes, I don't care, Yosef says. Hashem zogev kekufufim. Hashem straightens the bed. Harenu mesame eseinecha. I'm going to blind your eyes. Hashem pokei chivim. He responds, Hashem pokei chivim. He said, I'll give you 1,000 silver bars to lie with me. He goes, no, I'm not going to listen to you. Why? Gemara writes, because if I lie with you in El Mazah, and this is real powerful line. Liyos imal olam haba. And that means I'm going to be with you in olam haba. And you can imagine where she's going to be in olam haba. Okay? So this this capital of Tehillim right here, this Hashem Atir Ashurim, right? The book of Irim, the Zoykeh Kavuvim, right? You can, when I read it, I try to focus on the title, the Nisan that Yosef Tzadik had, which we all experience nowadays. And you try to think, he was able to respond to all these different things, Eishes Potiphar, to hold himself back, to keep himself strong. How could we not little focus that a little bit more and really strengthen ourselves in our Shemir Sanayim Shemir Saguf while you're reading these Pesukim? You think about Yosef Tzadik, you know? I always imagine, you know, when you go up, when you pathway after 120, Olam Haba, you know, who comes to greet you, you know? Who comes to, like, bring you in? They say maybe some people come out, I don't know if it's parents or family, whatever. But I always, like, I want Yosef Tzadik to, you know, to come out, you know, because I feel like we've living in 2025, and him in the palace of Pharaoh, we probably have a lot of similar experiences, you know? And if he could come out and be like, hey, you know, you're part of my clan, that would be pretty, pretty cool. Next week, Mirz Hashem, we're going to go a little bit deeper dive into these words, exactly how we can really hone in on them and really see that everything that we're struggling with is right here in these words, and we could really be something super, super meaningful. Sure.